Good morning. I'm Marilyn Devlin, a lay speaker. Reverend Brad is at annual conference. So if you came expecting to hear him, just come back. This is Pride Month. And Reverend Brad's theme is pride in our past, present, and future this year. Since I'm old enough to be historical, I drew pride in our past. The little Buddha says to create a past such that when you look back on it, you can smile. Well, I'm smiling. I'm proud. I know, it's one of the seven deadly sins, right? But let me make the case. Before I begin, however, I'd like to place a disclaimer up front here. Not for 1 minute do I believe that God is a large, old, white man. Who's got a capricious attitude and a penchant for discipline. One great paradox of my life is that God is beyond my understanding, yet intimate enough for me to relate to. I left off all churches about 25 or 26 years ago. Then about 30 years ago, I came back. I'm really glad I picked this particular church for lots of reasons. It's welcoming. It's where important stuff gets done. I can participate in ministry and be ministered to. We've grown a lot in that 30 years in every sense of the word. We are a neighborhood hub. Lots of things going on. One lay leader many years ago said, this is a terrific plant here for maximizing revenue. Well, what it means to me when they talk the part I'm proud of is that this is the churchy-looking building people mean when they talk about the preschool, the music lessons, the yoga classes. This is where the vegetarians meet for a meal. We hosted the Native American Ministry of Presence. I'm extremely proud of that. When a plane crashed in the neighborhood with fatalities, we were the place open to receive people touched, hurt, upset by that event. The week of September 11th, 2001, we were open for prayer and conversation around the trauma of that day. We collected and continued to collect food, diapers, disaster cleaning supplies. Yes, it's a terrific plant for maximizing. I'm proud of this church because we have zero landfill waste at coffee hour. That simply means that we wash dishes, we avoid styrofoam, and a few other things, but led by Dave Raymond, Corey Holler, and Alan and Holly, we have been intentional and activist about it. It's part of a larger picture of Earth stewardship that we have undertaken, including, you may or may not know about these, the solar panels on the roof. If you ever see Matt Chiodini, thank him. He went through a year of agony to get those up there. look back, and smile. We had a woman in the pulpit before many other churches ever even considered it. Mary Lib Carver, born in 1916, and other old but forward-thinking staff parish relations committee members helped bring that about. I'm proud of them. We've had every race in this pulpit, people from at least four continents, lay people and clergy, old and young, gay and straight. They were called by God to share the word, and they did. Seems that out of 613 laws, yes, somebody counted them, in the Hebrew scripture, Jesus consolidated two ideas, which he said encompassed all of them. He gave them to us as a prime directive. They're in the Gospel of Matthew. When the Pharisees heard how he had bested the Sadducees, they gathered their forces for an assault. One of their religious scholars spoke for them, posing a question they hoped would show him up. "Teacher, which command in God's law is the most important?" And Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list, but there's a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hangs on them." Word of God for the people of God. Amen. We are to live worshipfully and interact lovingly. I'm proud that this is a place where that happens. If you feel safe and respected, if you feel comfortable here, if you're fed by the music, if you like it when a light shines on the words of Scripture, you are in a good place. If you feel to study anything you want and draw the conclusions you are led to by the Holy Spirit, that's good. If you are encouraged to meditate and pray and fellowship, that's good. John Wesley, the founder of this denomination, posed his congregations these two questions. How goes it with your soul? And have you visited the prisons today? Do you hear the echoes of Jesus' first and second commandment? They're in there. Wesley asked us to be in relationship with God and to live lovingly with our fellow creatures. He himself held classes on Sunday so that working children could attend. He taught those children of the Welsh mining families to read and cipher so they could improve themselves. That was the beginning of Sunday school. I'm proud that we follow that tradition. People like Harold Byrne, Marion Brackett, Michael House, Blanche Berger, Louis Hollard, Brandon Cawthon, dozens, have been passionate about nurturing our children and helping them launch their lives of faith and service. Look back and smile. These days, we feed the hungry, we offer communion to the homeless, and make prayer quilts and meals for the hurting. Smile. In August of 2008, the Reverend Dr. Betty Bradford and Reverend Carrie Greenhill were our clergy. They felt compelled, called, to approach us with the prospect of becoming a reconciling congregation. That's code for inclusive. In particular, it means respecting a person's call to serve God regardless of his or her gender identity or sexual orientation. It means that anyone can sit in those pews and be nourished by anyone at that lectern. It makes us renegades, though, according to our rule book. Should it have been necessary? No, probably not, but it was. Phew, what a relief. There's another piece of fear and hatred we don't have to cling on to. Some of you remember our process sessions. They took place over a 9-month period. We tackled scripture, putting it into context and examining translations and meanings. We had discussion, lots and lots of discussions, making discoveries about each other and ourselves. We prayed for discernment, enlightenment, guidance, and how best to implement Jesus' teachings. And at the end of that time, we birthed a vote. On May 17th, 2009, with 2 abstentions, 7 no votes, the rest decided in favor. This community of faith decided to live out the gospel by welcoming all. That is, all. I said earlier that we're growing. We are. We're growing around a declaration that we want to adhere to Jesus' most important 2 laws, his only 2. We want to be able to look back and smile. This list of reasons that I'm proud is by no means exhaustive. And I didn't name everybody I could have. I apologize. Neither did I mention anything that I'm not proud of. And there are those things, to be sure. But I'm so very proud of this church for welcoming the gifts of all who hear and respond to God's call. And somebody said, amen?